Morning.
Okay, it's about 9 o'clock. We're gonna call the meeting to order.
McGuire?
Here.
Heslopoulos?
Here.
Rob?
Here.
Rob?
Here.
Michaels?
Here.
Ammons?
Here.
Present. And we need approval of the agenda.
So moved, Michaels.
Second, McGuire.
Second, Straub.
Okay, it's open for any discussion or. Okay, seeing none, can we get a roll call?
McGuire?
Yes.
Heslopoulos?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes. Need approval of the minutes for February 5th, 2021.
I didn't go over it, Paige. Did you, Diane?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So moved. That's a lock.
Need a second.
I'll second it, Michaels.
Surely.
Okay, it's been moved in second, so it's open for discussions or corrections. Okay. Seeing none, roll call.
McGuire?
Yes.
Heslopoulos?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Eagles?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes. Public participation. Do we have any?
I don't know. Steve, you got anything on public participation? You're the only one on here that's.
The only thing I would say, and I've thought about this after attending the last few meetings, I would actually consider coming in and attending in person, but none of y'all are wearing masks, and I don't know that you've got quite adequate distancing, at least between our chair and Jeff. So I would suggest you look at public health recommendations and maybe we can actually go back to having in-person meetings. Just my thought.
That. Yep. We can do that. We always wear masks in the office, but yeah. All right. I don't see any other public on the call, Madam Chair.
Okay. Is there any communication from the committee? Seeing none. Okay, seeing none. Need a motion for the county and township motor fuel tax claim for February 2021.
So moved. McGuire. Second.
It's been moved in second. It's open for any discussion. Seeing none, can we get a roll call?
McGuire?
Yes.
Heslopoulos?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Yes. And now we're going to go into the county engineer's report.
The first item is actually an item through RPC, the FY 2022 Rural Public Transit and Downstate Operation Assistance Program. We got a couple of folks from RPC on here. You guys want to go over your item on the agenda? I know Rita can't be here, but she said you guys would do a bang up job.
It takes three people, sir.
Yeah.
Yes. So, from my understanding, normally Kristen gives this presentation. However, she has just recently switched jobs. So, I guess I'll introduce myself very quickly. My name is Samuel Stewart. I am the new HSTP coordinator. So, Yes, I'm excited to give, I guess, this quick kind of presentation.
Meet you.
All right. So does everybody see my screen?
Yes, we can see it.
Perfect. Okay. So really this is more, this is just to kind of get consent so we can kind of move forward with the grant application for the 5311 and DOPE for fiscal year 2022. Okay, so as you know, every spring we need to submit the grant application to IDOT. This is projected ridership, miles, coordination, fares, and any changes within the past fiscal year. And we basically need the county board to approve the application as the grantee, as the governing body of the grantee. It's split both state and federal. So there is kind of, there's that moving forward. So as mentioned in the memo before, we are actually using the same budget as last year. So this is more due to the pandemic, and it would be hard to project any, it would be hard to project what we needed. So we just decided just to keep everything fairly straightforward and easy, especially as I was coming in at a kind of one of the busier times. We decided to keep the fund, the budget the same. So this is the table of last year and then also this year. There is a budget variance that I failed to pick up until recently. We are gonna have a plus 18% of fringe benefits. This is to give our operators medical insurance during this time period. So until the pandemic, it'll probably last a year after. As you also know,
what did they do prior to that?
For medical coverage,
right?
I believe it was they got it independently.
Okay, so why the change? Is that just something new?
A lot of
the drivers are retirees. I'm not saying that we shouldn't cover them. I'm just wondering why the difference in 18% when most of it has not gone up by that amount.
Yeah. So MPD recently passed a new policy, and we wanted to be as equitable as possible with the MT as operator with the MTD policies, and we didn't want there to be a difference between the MTD operators and our operators. So it was more of a acknowledgement of that these are the same, they are working all under the same company.
But they are RPC employees, not MTD employees, correct?
Sorry, my name is Evan Alvarez. I am the special services manager at MTD. So I manage the operations of C-Carts, and they are MTD employees.
Okay.
So where under the Affordable Care Act, there was the 30-hour threshold where we offer employees insurance. To respond to the pandemic and reduced hours at MTD, we reduced that number to 25 hours so that our operators here didn't lose their insurance. And because the C-Carts operators do work over 25 hours, they're then eligible. We don't know that all of them will take it, but it is being offered.
Okay, thank you. Just wondering if they should have been added to the county versus MTD. Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. So, as you know that Rantoul, we service Rantoul on a fixed route. We are currently running it fare free due to the pandemic. And this has actually increased our ridership quite a bit as you will see in the following slides. So the Rantoul service, normally we update the contract, but as kind of a show of good faith, we did not increase the pay for last year. We get paid about $111,000. So as you can see, the chart is showing the fiscal, kind of the ridership throughout the fiscal year based on based on both fiscal year 19, 18, and 17. As you can see that there is actually a increase this year, and a part of it we believe is due to the free fare. Overall, our C-CART ridership increased. We have about 67% of total ridership is from the Rantoul area, and of the C-CART ridership, 33% of them are demand response trips. This is just another chart that's more accurately portrays the numbers. It's bigger. So really just same concept. This is the overall C-CART ridership as opposed to strictly the Eagle Express, which runs it within Champaign, within Rantoul.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. Can you explain to me back last slide, what is a demand response trip? I'm so sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So the demand response trips are, so MTD has a bus route that they run. The demand response trips are, it's essentially calling a taxi, I guess would be the best way to put it, except they call up C-CARTs and they basically say, okay, at, I'd like to get picked up at 8:30 a.m. At this address, and I'd like you to cart me into, I believe it would be the Champaign-Urbana area or another address that is kind of within the rural area of Champaign County.
Thanks so much. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, not a problem. So, yeah. So normally we do have a survey that goes on. We currently do not have any results. This is online. Kind of to rectify this process. We are actually going to be placing an ad on Facebook for increased outreach in hopes that we get the rural population. Normally we would give paper handouts as people are coming into the bus, but it's also considered a health risk. So for the safety of our passengers and for our operators, we are opting not to do that this year. So I guess, are there any questions?
So we need to adopt or approve this resolution authorizing the execution of the amendment and grant agreement, correct?
I believe so. From my understanding is to get placed on the consent agenda for the county board meeting.
Right, yep.
It's actually two, isn't it?
Well, there's,
I think so.
Yeah, there's the resolution, there's the public transportation applicant ordinance, and then the resolution acceptance of the special warranty. Whatever all that means, this is not my gig.
I'd like to move them both in block.
On the best motion for all three.
There's three of them.
All three on the all best three motion. Of them?
Yeah, well, there you go.
ABC.
You said that, didn't you?
ABC. You did, but...
I will. Moving all three.
We have a motion from Mr. McGuire to move all three of the items under item number 8, A, B, and C.
Second, Michael.
Any discussion?
Is there some discussion or presentation I may be missing because of the special warranty that someone wanted presented?
May I ask for clarification in regards to that?
I just wondered if what the warranty, tell me more about the warranty, special warranty.
Yeah. Essentially, the special warranty is to, let me pull up the document really quickly. The special warranty is, hold on. So the special warranty is basically to help us. What is it? Take the 5311 grants. It's essentially is my understanding. It allows us to accommodate the, how do I put it?
Attached. So it's a requirement by the
federal grant? It is a federal grant requirement, yes. And so my understanding is that it's just another form that needs to be signed in order to gain the federal grant.
Excuse me, Samuel, the reason why we're asking is because it's her attached and there wasn't an attachment. That's why we were asking.
Oh, okay. Not a problem. Mm-hmm.
It might be wise when this goes to the county board, if that somehow could be attached so that this question doesn't come up, even because it can get pulled off of the consent agenda if somebody doesn't want it on the consent agenda.
Yeah.
We don't want that to happen. So I would send that attachment.
Okay.
Send it to us at the highway department, to Michelle. Have somebody send that to Michelle.
Okay.
We will attach it when we send the items to the county board.
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you.
And she will need that today because we have to send that over. Thank you. All right. Yes, we do.
McGuire?
Yes.
Eslava?
Yes. Did you have a second?
Myself.
Okay.
Rob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Nichols?
Yes, pending attachment.
Ammons?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So that are, item eight is done. You guys that were on from MTD and RPC, you're free to do your other things during your day. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bet. All right. Item number nine. As those of you who have been on the committee for a while know, we've had a pavement management system in place for my tenure here. And a pavement management system basically is a way for us to grade and keep track of how our pavements are doing on the Champaign County system. And we have had a contract with Applied Research Associates to do our pavement management for Bill can probably tell us better, but probably a dozen years or so. And they just, I just received the report for 2021 through 2025, our maintenance and rehabilitation plan, which comes out of all the work that Applied Research does. So I've invited Bill Vabrick, who is the Vice President and Principal Engineer at Applied Research Associates, to kind of give us an overview of what we're looking at here for our pavement management report for 2021, and maybe give some historical background too, Bill, to the folks who are new to the committee, if you would. So I'll leave you to do that, Bill.
You're on. Sounds good, Jeff. Thank you so much, and thank you to the county board members that are here, the Transportation Highway Committee. Appreciate the work that you folks are doing. I am Bill Vabrick. I'm with ARA, and I'm sitting right now in my home in Savoy. And our office is in Champaign. So we're a local contractor helping the county to manage the pavement assets that are out there. It's one of the rare instances. I do work literally all over the country. I've been everywhere from Florida to Alaska and California to Maine doing this similar work and presenting to county boards. And it's kind of fun to do it to the group where I sit and live and do my work as well. A little bit of background. Jeff kind of talked about this at the beginning. Starting in 2006, we put together a pavement management system. And I will tell you, I've actually presented on a national stage. I know Jeff has as well at the National Association of County Engineers. the successes that have happened because of Champaign County's pavement management system. It's a system that allows us to regularly and systematically go out and evaluate the condition of the pavements, what they look like on the surface, how they're riding, you know, whether they're smooth or rough, whether they're structurally adequate, meaning do they bend a lot underneath heavy trucks, and to use all that data to figure out what is the right timing to fix each road and when. We started in 2006. We've had a number of multi-year agreements to make that process happen. And we've seen some pretty tremendous success. This is one of Jeff's quotes from very early on, right? This is probably a 2006 or 2007 quote, but I continue to even still use it in presentations. But the overall goal is to provide an objective tool for the inventory, assessment, and management of the road network, right? So these are the county-owned roads, the county-maintained roads, and the goal is to keep them in as good a condition as we can with limited resources, so that we're providing the best value to the citizens of Champaign County. How we do that, we use a couple different pretty fancy vehicles that have all kinds of systems on them. For the functional condition, looking at things like the cracking in the road or the ride quality, the smoothness or roughness of the road, we use a van or a truck that, you know, something that looks like this. We have several different versions of this, but these have camera systems and laser systems on them, a bunch of accelerometers and other sensors that give us the overall condition of the road. And those, you know, we take those images and the sensor data that comes from that, and we come up with an overall score for each roadway segment. We also look at the structural condition, right? So this is a non-destructive testing device that drops a weight on the road and looks at how much the road bends. And depending on whether the road bends just a little bit or if it bends a lot, that will tell us whether or not a road is adequate to handle the repeated truckloads that would be out on the roadway network. And the goal is to then, you know, put that together into an overall score. You can see the map on the right-hand side of this chart shows you how the county road network looks as of our most recent assessment, which was the 2020 assessment. Now, that some years we actually go out and we collect data in the field, and other years we just do I'll call it a paper exercise to update the database based on the work that Jeff had done through various construction contractors. And then we revalidate that data every couple of years by collecting it all throughout the county. So it's a good program of trying to balance and not, you know, for a high agency like the Illinois Tollway that ARA works for, we collect their every road every year because their network is incredibly important, and, you know, they're toll funded in some different scenarios. Whereas, you know, with Champaign County, we don't need to be out there with these expensive vehicles collecting every year. We can put some space between that. But in the years we're not collecting data, we're updating the models. We're updating the data that's behind the system. What we use with that data then is we look at some performance curves. We look at how does the road typically perform. So if a road starts with a score of 100, that pavement condition index, PCI, of 100, it falls off over time. And the black line is if we built a new road today and we didn't do anything, that's pretty much how the road would perform. And we've got lots of years of data that shape that curve and show us what that curve looks like. And we see it change as materials change and as characteristics change. Jeff has done a great job of doing preventive maintenance. So doing chip seals early in the pavement's life, generally around year 2 and around year 10, that actually keeps this road, instead of falling off along the black line, it keeps it following the blue line then, right? So that means we're staying above that condition of 80, which is, you know, the kind of your very good and excellent. We're staying in that very good to excellent range much, much longer into the pavement's life. And then when we just fall down a little bit, we're doing the hot in place recycling of the surface. Again, when it's structurally adequate, when we can do that and not worry about the pavement bending too much. And we're extending the life, right? So by doing those chip seals, by doing that hot in place recycling, a road that would have previously lasted us 17 years is now lasting us 25 years before we have to do a more major rehabilitation. We put these strategies and these things in place, working with Jeff, you know, having a system and doing regular monitoring and regular evaluation. And it's really been successful to take our scarce dollars in the county and stretch them as far as we possibly can. So our goal is to provide the right treatment on the right road at the right time. So sometimes that means that, you know, the road needs to be fully upgraded, and we're doing a cold in place recycling of the old road and adding structure. Sometimes it means we can do a hot in place recycling of just the surface. And sometimes it means we're out doing chip seals, right? Just sealing up to keep the water out of the pavement and you know, refreshing that road. It's the right treatment to the right road at the right time. When you start out with a pavement management system, this can be a little difficult to achieve because you've got limited resources. Jeff's got a very mature system now in the county, has done a great job managing resources, and now is in a place where this thing runs pretty well like clockwork. In fact, I understand we've got a full 9-year program that's laid out. You know, we don't know exactly how everything is going to perform over the next 9 years, but if it follows what we think it is, we've actually kind of got that laid out, you know, far into the future. Why do we do this? When we implemented this system back in 2006, this was the average condition of pavements, and it was roughly a 70 out of 100. And we looked at a whole bunch of different funding scenarios, the one that we were under, and you know, could we find more money? Would we divert money away from county highways into other projects? And we showed what would happen under those various scenarios. And we found the right level of investment to make sure that the county roads are staying in good condition. And you can see from 2006 through last year, we have raised and maintained a pavement condition of above 80 on a 100 scale. This is incredibly high when you compare it to other agencies, other local governments, you know, counties around the state of Illinois, and we work for many of them, municipalities, what have you. The county has done a really good job and has done it without, you know, drastic changes to budgets or what we're doing. It's really a wise strategy to get us where we needed to go. So you see that we made a few jumps here and there, and it's been a steady increase to make some improvements. In fact, by having the right mix of fixes or the right treatment to the right road at the right time, like I talked about earlier, we're actually seeing, if you look at the blue circles that are behind this data, they kind of are the data points that made up this black line, that typical performance, if you will. The red dots that you see on the top are some of the newer roadway segments that have gotten into this new cycle, right? Where we're doing refreshing the road with when it needs to be upgraded, using cold in place recycling or full depth reclamation. And then we do that preventive maintenance with the chip seals in year 2 and year 10. The old data is the blue circles. The new data is the red squares. And you can see we're outperforming the performance curve. We're going to need to shift this curve up because the strategies put in place, because we collect data, because we monitor, because we look at what are the best technologies in the marketplace to help us do things in an economical way, we are outperforming the typical curve right now. And that is great news. It means that we've got a very mature system and we're making good decisions with the limited dollars that are available. We also have the data available to Jeff and all the county staff. You know, we can hand out the link where you can view the roadway condition data. It's all online. In fact, I'll turn it on here in a minute and let you see it kind of running in the background. But all of this information is available at people's fingertips. So if Jeff gets a call that there's something going out all the way up here at the far north end of Route 22, rather than somebody having to get in the car and drive out and say, let me go look at that to remember what it looked like back when, there's a virtual drive, right? You're familiar with Google Street View. And I think for the most part, the county highways are all in Street View. But this is, you know, high fidelity images looking at our infrastructure, as well as the map and the data, the pavement management data, all available to the county while you're sitting in your offices or wherever you happen to be working from. So with that, I'm going to actually flip over my web browser in the background to where it was showing on the map. And I don't know how well Zoom is going to come through with this, but I did start it, and you can see the images playing on the left-hand side.
Oh, yeah. Looks good.
Good. I wasn't sure how the technology would work with showing effectively moving, you know, images, but we're driving through Royal right now. And you can see the little pin is moving on the map itself. We can zoom in there and, you know, there's database full of information about that particular road. And you can see, I picked one that was you know, maybe not in great condition. You know, it's yellow on the map rather than some of the greens or the blues, but it just gives you an idea of some of the tools Jeff has available to him and the other staff in the highway department. And as you can see, the results from this pavement management program have been really resounding successes. And it's been a joy for me to be able to talk with other places around the country about the successes that Champaign County has enjoyed. And I know Jeff has been recognized across Illinois and across the country for the hard work that he's doing. So I really do appreciate the program that's in place. I'm really pleased that we could do it, you know, in my backyard, being a Champaign County resident and like you, a local elected official. So whatever we can do to help Savoy, I'm a Savoy trustee. So, you know, whatever you can do to throw a little money our way, we'll take that as well. But, you know, it's really impressive to be able to have this in your backyard and to have a robust system that is showing real savings and real value to the citizens of Champaign County. So if there's anyone who has any questions, I am happy to entertain those.
Appreciate it, Bill. We've enjoyed this relationship as well. As you remember, when Ameren came through and did their Big Rivers project and used some of our roads, we were able to use the pavement management system to show what the condition of the roads were before they did the project and after, and they actually wrote the county a check for $1 million in damage to our roads. And that wasn't damage that you could physically see, you know, as a layperson driving down the road, but having a pavement management system, be able to compare the PCI prior and PCI after they did their work. And then we could use basically the data that we have in here to project how much it would cost us in order to bring that pavement back up to its old condition. And they literally were so impressed by that. The guy came in with a checkbook. This is no lie. Wow. Like a regular checkbook, like you carry around in your pocket. And he wrote a check for $1 million and handed it to me. And I freaked out. I was like, what am I going to do with this?
So you made that up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so Jeff, it's worked in a number of the other alternative energy, right? Some of the wind farm analysis that gets done, you know. Because you have a mature pavement management system, when you have somebody who wants to have an impact to county highways, like, you know, building, you know, whether it's transmission lines or it's wind farms or solar farms, it puts an extra load on the roads. It's very easy. These models are well-defined. The conditions are measured regularly. We look at the damage they do and we tell them, this is what it is. And they pretty much write a check. I work with a number of other local agencies that don't have this because they're trying to go to these developers of wind or solar or pipelines or, you know, transmission and say, hey, I need to be compensated for the damage you caused to the road when you were out here. And they don't have this as a baseline and they have difficulty. And sometimes it ends up in mediation and lawyers are involved to figure out how much of a check to write. Jeff has a guy walk in with a checkbook and write him out $1 million check. It's not a bad deal.
We got a question, Steve.
Yeah, this would be for either Jeff or Mr. Vavrick. I know one of your charts showed two graphs, one on either side. One was indicating use of hot in-place recycling. The other was cold in-place. Is the county actually utilizing hot in-place recycling?
We sure are. As a matter of fact, we did hot in-place recycling on the Broadlands Road 3 or 4 years ago. We did it on Staley Road from Curtis down to Monticello. And we actually used that same contractor with Champaign Township, and they did First Street from Windsor down to Curtis. And the road that Bill was showing you on the virtual drive there, which was the road that goes through Royal, that's County Road 9, but the initial one that you were showing us, Bill, that looked pretty bad. We are putting together plans right now to do that roadway all the way from 45 through Royal, excuse me, over to County Road 22. Next year. So yes, we are utilizing hot in place recycling when the road is. So what we've really found is that it's a good piece of the equation to use when we have rutting on our roadways. So the Royal Road is structurally really good shape. It doesn't look that bad when you drive it,
but if you get a good rain, you can't hardly get out of the wheel ruts, and you end up doing a lot of hydroplaning on that road. So what the hot in place recycling will do, we'll go down about an inch and a half and recycle that in place, get rid of that rutting, and then we'll put a inch and a half, 2 inch overlay over the top of it to freshen it up. And it really does a great job on something like that, where you otherwise we'd just be milling off the old asphalt and carrying it away and not having that structure left. So that's really what we're using hot in place recycling for.
Well, that is great to hear. I've been out of the industry for a while. I know the first type of recycling project I ever worked on personally was hot in place, but I had thought that we'd kind of gotten away from that. Happy to hear that you're using it. I know economically that's a much, much better utilization of our dollars. As to getting the $1 million check, I hope you have that problem and you feel uncomfortable receiving that in the future with other projects that we have done in Champaign.
Me too.
Anyway, thank you for answering the question. Appreciate it.
Bet. You bet.
How much new material gets blended in the hot in place?
None.
None at all. No asphalt
oil.
Or anything. Just oil.
Oil.
Yeah.
About 2% oil.
Okay.
And it's a specially formulated oil. It's not like you can get it over here in Emulsicoat because it's got some rejuvenators and so forth in it. But they literally got these heater scarifiers. Mm-hmm. They're gigantic propane burners that heats the top of the road, and they take these scarifiers and pick up the asphalt off the road. It gets so hot. And then they put it through this rejuvenating oil and they lay it back out with a paver right behind it. And they can do about a mile to 2 miles a day, lane miles, with that process. So it's not a fast process because they literally got to heat that pavement up to the point where it becomes pliable again. Mm. So it does take a little time. They like to think of it as totally green. They're burning a lot of propane, but we're not using any resources other than that either. We're only using what's left, what's on the roadway.
So, yeah, there have been a number of studies that have been done to, because some people will say, well, wait a minute, you're using so much propane to heat up the pavement. Aren't we creating an environmental issue with the hot in place recycling? And it's been well studied and documented that it is a huge environmental savings. Yes, we do have to heat it up, and that takes a fair amount of energy, but the energy required to grind up the old pavement, put it into trucks, drive it off, process new material, bring it back out in all those trucks is significantly more environmental impact than the heating it up in place and recycling it.
Yep, exactly.
So is the stretch of 900 where I live cold in place that was done last year?
I think that was just cold. He put it, it wasn't in place. He just laid out cold mix over
new
the top
cold
of the road.
Over the
new
top.
Cold mix.
It's turned out to be really good too.
Yeah. So when we do cold in place, what you got is basically what we end up with when we do cold in place. Only we're out there with the gigantic grinders milling it down 4 inches. I think this picture right here in the middle, that's a CIR train. So that's a gigantic grinder that picks up 4 inches deep, puts it through a pug mill, puts about 2.5% new emulsion back into the pavement, and then they lay it out behind with a paver, and they roll it with three rollers. It's not as smooth as a hot road would be, so we come back, and what we do is we overlay it to give it a little bit more structural strength and to give it that nice smooth ride. That we want. So typically we'll do a cold in place recycling and put a 3-inch asphalt overlay over the top of it, because you usually do your lifts an inch and a half lifts.
And then one more question with the chip sealing, does that take the permeability of the road down to zero, or does water still go through the asphalt?
You're still going to have some hairline and minor cracks. That's what we're trying to do. So within a year or two of paving a new roadway, you'll see that roadway on the right that's very dark in color. Mm-hmm. You know that oxidizes in a couple of years, mm-hmm. and it starts to turn white. So once that oxidation occurs, it starts drying out, and you get all these micro cracks on top of the surface, which is going to allow water to get into. It's also going to allow the continuation of that oxidation of that pavement. So if we go out there and do a seal coat in the first couple of years, we basically bring it right back to where it was when we laid it down. And those seal coats don't oxidize nearly as fast as these asphalt pavements do. So we can, and we'll do crack sealing at the same time. So we'll come out there with our grinders. And if we have any cracks that are you know, maybe bigger than your pinky, we're going to grind those out and put in rubberized crack filler. And then we're going to fill up all the other minor cracks with our seal coat process. And then that'll take us another, you know, 8 years or so. It'll hold up. It'll start to turn white. We'll grind some of it off when we're doing our snow plowing. And you'll see the wheel lanes starting to get, you know, a different look to them. And then that's what you got kind of there on the left side. That's a pavement that's been seal coated. That's probably 6 or 8 years past the first seal coat that we did. And we found we can do one more seal coat. To freshen that up and put another top on top of it and dewater it. And then after that, it kind of loses its advantages of doing further seal coats. So at that point, we let it go, basically. We keep the cracks filled up, we keep the shoulders in good shape, and that's when you start seeing the bottom of that curve, maybe 17 to 20 years out. And then depending on what the pavement's like, whether it's just wheel rutted or whether it's really getting old and beat up, we'll either do a hot in place recycling or we'll do a cold in place recycling. And then we'll freshen up that roadway. So
would you do hot in place twice ever, or would you go down and put in new base and everything after that?
Some of these roads, we literally, when we try to core them, we can't hardly get through them with our coring machine because they're so hard. So why would you go down and disrupt that base?
That's right.
You just leave it down there.
Okay.
And you keep building, you know. It used to be before I got here, and this is no knock on the guys prior to me, because this is the way people did their business back 20 years ago. It was, the road's getting bad, oh, we put another overlay on it. Road's getting bad, oh, we put another overlay on it. And champagne asphalt, Joe Lamb and the boys love that. More asphalt. But eventually that road gets pretty tall and you don't have any shoulders left, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can't just continue to do that. That's an expensive way to take care of your roads every 8 to 10 years. Let's put another overlay on. That just doesn't, that's where the pavement management system comes in and where we start picking the right treatment on the right road at the right time. So that's where we're at with this. So anything to add there, Bill?
No, Jeff, I think you've hit it really well. It's been a model program, and we're lucky to have it here in Champaign County. And it's nice to, we've been able to reap the benefits of it so many times.
Yes, indeed. And it's great to work with you guys. You know that we love our relationship with you. The principal of this company was my roommate in college, Kurt Beckmeyer, who also lives down in Savoy. So a lot of history here with these guys, and I have a lot of confidence in what they're doing, and it makes me be able to do my job that much easier, and I really appreciate it.
And Jeff does a good job of squeezing us on the price, because he, you know, keeps telling us that we have to be the cheapest out there. We're local. We're not traveling anywhere. Normally, we're putting people on the road in hotels, and he tells us about how we have to serve our local community. So he turns the screws to us pretty hard.
Well, that's what we do, right?
That's what we do.
That's what we do. Now that you're a trustee, you're fully into
it.
And I appreciate that.
I was on the ZBA when we built the ordinance for the wind farms.
Oh, yeah.
And I mistakenly thought you were the wizard, because we always got the information from you. I had no idea about these guys.
Don't look behind the screen, because Bill's sitting there giving me the information.
John Hall just said, well, Jeff Blue. I had no idea.
So my quote as a county engineer is, I certainly don't know everything, but I know everybody that does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's my job. I can't know everything, but I certainly can know everybody that does know everything. It makes me look good, and Bill does a good job of that. So I appreciate it. All right, buddy. Thanks for the presentation.
Thanks, Jeff. I'll drop off the sharing, and you guys can have the meeting back.
All right. Good seeing you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move forward then. We've got a couple of resolutions here. The first resolution is appropriating an additional $250,000 for the county bridge funds for the replacement of structure 010-0224, County Highway 13, section number 19-000-7700BR. The reason this is before you is because when we originally conceptualized this project, it was a triple box culvert. And once the hydraulic study came through, there was no way to put back in a triple box culvert. It had to be a bridge. So we went from the cost of a culvert to the cost of a bridge. So The original cost estimate was about $400,000. We've had the bids now, and the bids came in where we need to have $650,000 in total allocation to complete the project. So this is a resolution appropriating an additional $250,000 to cover the cost of that bridge. And I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
So moved, Straub.
Second, Russell Lockwood.
What's that? You broke up. I'm sorry.
Did I jump the gun or is that what you wanted? You wanted a motion?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Great. Sorry about that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion, any questions anybody has?
So refresh my memory, who's this going to? Who got the bid?
Big O Services.
Big O, that's your big shoe.
Local contractor. That's a bid of a different project, but he got that one too.
Yeah, I thought so.
Is it typical to not know the hydraulics before the letting?
It's not before the letting. So we do a resolution when we first conceptualize a project.
Okay.
We don't know what we're really totally getting into. We're throwing a number in the air and saying, we hope that's what it's going to cost us. And then we do the hydraulics and all the engineering. But once we get to that point, so we could have redone the resolution at that point because we knew we were in to a bigger project than we had originally resolved for. But why not wait until the project is let so we actually know what it's going to cost us? Because let's say we did another resolution for $200,000. And we needed 250, and then we got to come back again. So we just waited until the project was bid and approved, and now we know what it's actually going to cost. So we upped the resolution.
Was this the Big O one from last month?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I thought that's this correct. Was last month. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Roll call.
McGuire?
Yes.
Kozlova?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Ford?
Yes.
All right. The other resolution is a resolution awarding of a contract for a bridge deck replacement, section 19-000-8000BR. The resolution which went out in the packet was just kind of a holding place resolution because it didn't have the actual cost award or the contractor who was the low bidder. But we did send out a updated resolution which shows that Big O Construction, Big O Services again was the low bidder. Total cost was $544,189.50. We also sent out a bid tab for the project, and you'll see that the engineer's estimate was $587,000, and we had four bids. Big O Services was low at $544,000, and Stark was high at $623,000. So a pretty good set of bids there. One of them was actually almost exactly on our engineer's estimate, $587,000. So it's always great to have four bidders. You go to a lot of the counties that aren't Champaign County, and you might get one or two bidders on a bridge project, and we're consistently getting at least four on our bridge projects, and sometimes even more. So Big O Services, now if this resolution is awarded, we'll have the job that we just approved the increased resolution on, the job in Tolono Township for the bridge there by I-57, and this one. So he's basically told me that's all he's going to do this year is those three bridges in our county, because he likes working for us. We like having him work for us. So we will have basically an engineer follow him around as he builds these projects throughout the summer, in Champaign County. So I would ask for your adoption and approval of this resolution.
So moved, Michaels.
Second, Michael.
Any questions? All right. If we need a roll call.
McGuire?
Yes.
Kozlova?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Michelle, do we have any closed session meeting minutes?
We did not. Megan, just, you know, I wrote a message that someone leaving, I believe, in 6:30.
Our man retired, so anyway, we don't have any semi-annual review of closed session minutes. So that concludes everything I had, Madam Chair.
Okay. The next item is the chair's report. There's no chair report. The next item is the designated item to be placed on the consent agenda, which would be 8, 9.
Nine is not a voting item, so.
Oh, okay. Well, 8, 10, and 11.
Yes. Yep. Sounds good.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to present to the committee?
Just a question. Has Darlene got to the point where you guys are having COVID tests yet?
No. Okay. You can send your people if you want. I mean, yeah, you're the director of this department. Send them.
To the U of I?
No.
Oh, I know. We do send them out to Marketplace when we have problems or issues or ideas.
And if they have contact or a symptom, they can go to the Carl testing and have results that day.
Yeah, we're doing that. But the saliva thing through the U of I, we haven't. I think they just got FDA approval, right? Like
this they week. Had emergency approval all along, I guess, but apparently it's, yeah.
So
we can't send them every week right now until it's been approved.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I'm disagreeing.
Yes. Yep. And a number, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I don't know the number because I asked the state's attorney and they told me I can't ask. But all of my employees were approved to have the COVID vaccination. So those that wanted it went and got it because we are frontline emergency people. So I have it.
There was a lag in supply there with that storm. Yes. And I think they're running again.
Yeah, we got in before that. We got in. Most people have had their second already.
Good.
So
wow.
My wife had her second yesterday.
Yeah. Did she do okay with it?
So far.
Good.
Same with the teachers.
And yep.
Angela Rhea got her second yesterday.
That's where we're at on that.
Okay, good.
All right. Anything else? Seeing none, then
I say we're adjourned.
Thank you, everybody. Good seeing you.
Great. Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
You too. That's funny, it goes Rob, Sob.
I know.